what will heaven be like? What a privilege to be here today in the house of the Lord. Let's turn, please, to 1 John 4 and verses 16 to 21, please, is where we're going to read. Appreciate that ministry and song. I've been blessed to be here already. 1 John 4, please. And title for this morning's message is God is Love. God is love. 1 John 4 and verses 16 to 21. Is this carrying okay? Too loud? All good? Thank you. 1 John 4 and verses 16 to 21. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of looking into your word at this time. And Father, we acknowledge that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And Father, we would just seek your help today, your help for me with expositing this passage, Lord God. I don't have it in me to change people, Lord, but thank you that we have the Spirit of God, and who is the Spirit of truth, and the Word of God, which is truth, that can be used in the hearts and lives of each one here. Father, you see with perfect accuracy and perfect understanding every individual today. Lord, with any confusion of the mind, any difficulty of the heart, Father, any spiritual problem, Lord, with any who may need Christ as Saviour, Lord, those who need to be comforted, those who need to be encouraged, those who need to be strengthened, Father, Lord, those who need to be challenged, Lord, rebuked, whatever it be. I pray, Father, that you would have your perfect will and way here this morning. Lord, it is beyond me to meet people's needs, but we thank you that you can. So we just pray, Father, this time that you would take this passage, Lord, from your word, cause it to be spiritual food, Lord, for those who are here and hungry, and that you would feed each one as only you can, Lord Jesus, our Saviour and our Master. So we pray that you preside over things at this time, that you'd empty me of myself and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say only those things you want me to say, and that would be in accordance with the truth of your word. Pray for your enabling and empowering at this time, Father. Please help our hearts and minds to focus. And we pray that you would speak to us and that you would accomplish all that you would desire to accomplish in our hearts and lives this morning. Please speak to us through your word and fulfill all thy purposes, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. So our passage for this morning, God is love. And a little bit of review here, this epistle of 1 John. John is writing to believers, and he's seeking to deal with the error of Gnosticism. And it was a heresy in the time of the early church that was, at least at this time, was the development of Gnosticism. And it was an issue that people had with the person of Christ. And they tried to make a division between the human Jesus and the divine Christ. Christ, who is God, and Jesus, who is human. That was their division that they would make. But when the Apostle John gives this epistle, he says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him," 1 John 5:1. And so he shores up this matter of the person of Christ. And throughout this epistle, there is reoccurring themes, and one of the things which comes through very often is love. He keeps on bringing through this matter of love, and he speaks about walking in the light, and he speaks about love for the brethren, love for one another, as it were, and love for God, and speaks about knowing God and about abiding in God, and so forth, and explains what a true believer is. And the Apostle John has been referred to as being the Apostle of Love. But he was by no means a weak and effeminate man. He wasn't the image that you would see in Leonardo da Vinci's painting of an effeminate, almost female-looking man. He was a fisherman, And fishermen in those days, and I think probably a lot of them these days too, have to be strong and fit. He wasn't an effeminate man, and he and his brother James were given the names Boanerges, the sons of thunder, from the Lord Jesus. And even though he's the apostle of love, and he speaks throughout this epistle many beautiful things, he doesn't pull any punches when it comes to truth. And as it were, as we as the family of God, as we walk through this epistle and we see the love of God and the light of God and that how that we can have joy and fellowship, but we still hear the rumblings of thunder. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And John gets to the point about truth. And truth and love go hand in hand. Although today, to speak the truth and to say that something is wrong or something is evil, you can be branded as being judgmental and bigoted and unloving. But John, the apostle of love, speaks the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. And here, in this passage here, he speaks about the love of God. And so our title for this morning's message, God is Love. And there are many things which can be said of God. One of the many amazing, wonderful, beautiful things that can be said of our great God. It can be said that God is omnipotent or all-powerful. It can be said that God is immutable or unchangeable. It can be said that God is omniscient or all-knowing, that God is omnipresent or everywhere present. We can say that God is just and that God is faithful and that God is holy and that God is merciful and that God is gracious. We can say many things about God, but we also see here in this epistle that God is love and that God is not a dual personality. God is not someone who is a harsh and unloving God in the Old Testament and a loving and a kind God in the New Testament, but we see that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And although God is a God of justice and of judgment and of wrath, God is also a God of love. So for an outline this morning, firstly, let's look at the promise of this love. The promise of this love, beginning of verse 16. And Apostle John says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The promise of this love. Sorry, verse 16. And John is here either speaking about himself and the other apostles, or speaking about every true Christian. He says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us." That he had experienced this. Not only had he seen the life of Christ, but he himself had experienced salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He and the other apostles and he and these true believers that he is writing to had known the love of God and had believed it. And either way, whether it be himself speaking of himself and the other apostles or speaking of every Christian, the same is true of both, that every true believer has known the love of God and salvation, and all of the the 11 disciples, excluding Judas, had experienced the love of God. And John was able to confidently say, God is love. And by that, we don't mean that love is God, and that love as an idea or a concept is God, but that rather God as to one of his attributes is that of love. And he says here twice in this epistle, God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He says there in verse 8, and then in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he goes on and says, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. And this is the word which can be translated dwell or abide or remain or continue. He says that the one that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. And we talked about that last week, about that truth, that promise, that assurity there. We see that the one who abides in love, the one who manifests the love of God, the one who has the love of God flowing through him, that is evidence that that person is in God and that God is in them. So to dwell in love, this the promise of this love, to dwell in love is evidence of dwelling in God and God dwelling in the believer. How can a tree not bear fruit when its roots are deeply embedded in rich, well-watered soil? And how can a believer who has truly been forgiven, has truly been saved, and has the life of Christ in their lives, how can they not but exhibit the love of God to others? And we have a promise here from Scripture that the professing Christian who is living a life of continuous love is in God and God in him. And so there is a word today here of comfort for any believers who have been truly been saved but have doubting hearts. If the love of God is flowing through to others, that is evidence that you are a child of God. There is something also to be observed. No love equals no life. No love equals no life. You cannot have come into contact with the risen Lord Jesus Christ and to have experienced the salvation of Christ and not have the love of God within you. Sometimes the love of God is perhaps restricted in a believer's life because of the spirit being grieved, but there will be the love of God within every believer. And so no love equals no life. Next, we see the perfection of this love, the perfection of this love. And the end of verse 16 says, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Read through verse 17 there as well. So we see that God is love. Now let's look at the perfection of it. It says here, herein is our love made perfect. And if we look back into the Gospel of John 15, verses 9 to 13, it says, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this is the love that they were admonished to, that they were commanded to have. God is love. Jesus Christ is God. He had the love of God. He was a loving person, loved us with a love we cannot comprehend. But then he commands it of his followers to love in the same way. How do we do that? How do we have that sort of love? We don't have that sort of love coming from us, which does not come naturally from us, this kind of love. So how do we have it? How can we love as Christ has commanded us to love? How can the love of God be perfected in us? Well, we see in that very same passage in verse 4 of John 15, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So we see the very ability for loving comes from Christ himself. And it's impossible to bear fruit as a Christian without the life of Christ flowing through you. So the Lord Jesus spoke about abiding in his love. So how do I abide in the love of Christ? I do so by loving my Christian brothers and sisters. That's how I abide in the love of Christ. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So what do I do? Do I abide in the love of Christ? Or do I love my fellow believers? What comes first? How do I do this? I must love my fellow believers, but I don't have the ability to. But I've been commanded to, so I need to. How does it work? When I, by faith, trusting the life of Christ to live through me, and I obey in the area of brotherly love, I abide in the love of Christ, which is the love of God. So we have man's aspect, not man making himself do it by the force of the will, that we see that when man by faith obeys in the area of love, That is when we abide in the love of God. It comes about by the grace of God. Remember that love is not merely a feeling. Not merely a feeling. The illustration I've used before. If love was a feeling, how many parents would love their children's bedtime more than they'd love their children? Love is more than that. Love is an action. And it comes about by this love comes about by the grace of God living through us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So this is how we have the love of God is perfected in us, is when we love one another practically. Okay? Not just simply in word and in tongue. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 18 in chapter 3. And hereby we know that we have the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So that is when our love is then perfected or made complete. When we, by faith, trust in the life of Christ to live through us, practically love one another regardless of feelings, that is how the love of God is made manifest. That is how the love of God is perfected in us. Just as the moon is reliant upon the powerful rays of the sun, S-U-N, to reflect light upon the earth, so we as the children of God are reliant upon the sun, S-O-N, to manifest the love of God to one another. Okay, it comes about by the life of Christ. The Spirit of God sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. It says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And the goal after salvation is Christ's likeness, is to be like the Lord Jesus. That should be our desire, that should be our goal, should be our passion, is to be like Christ. And if you are to be like the Lord Jesus, you are going to be loving. Because no human being ever loved like our Lord did. And if you are to be like the Lord Jesus, and if you are to be striving and desiring by the grace of God to be like the Lord Jesus, you will be a loving Christian. Also, we see the power of this love. The power of this love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And this word here, which is boldness, is the Greek word paresia, and it means freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech. Okay, so love, the love of God brings boldness, and in particular brings boldness in the day of judgment, okay, because there are judgments coming. Now, when we look at this passage and it says here in the day of judgment, we may ask, which judgment is it? Is it the judgment seat of Christ, or is it the judgment where the books are open and those whose names are not written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire? Well, the Greek word is krisis, which means judgment, damnation, accusation, condemnation. And means a separating, sundering, separation, a trial, contest, selection, judgment. And so it could be one or the other, but quite possibly is speaking about that judgment day, okay, the great white throne judgment. But either way, if we have the life of Christ living through us, if we are manifesting the love of God, that gives us boldness. One day when we stand, if it were to be at the judgment seat of Christ to stand before the Lord, we can have boldness because we know that we have lived as Christ has lived. And whether it be the white throne judgment, we can stand there as believers but not be in any fear, okay? Because we know we have been saved and we know that we have had the life of Christ living through us and that we are truly a child of God. So we see that love brings boldness or confidence. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world, a likeness to the Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. This is another powerful thing about this love, that it casts out fear from within the believer. And we see in this epistle that love and hate cannot coexist together, that one cannot love God and hate his brother. Love and hate cannot coexist in the same heart, but we also see that love and fear cannot coexist in the same heart. It says here, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we ought to be living this life at his cross, that we ought to be living this life that is permeated by the love of God. And if you are not being a channel for the love of God, you may find that love begins to be replaced by fear. That the light of God's presence is retracted and the darkness of fear begins to take root in your heart and in your life. There may be times where you know you are filled with the love of God, and what is fear? How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever, however the song goes, loves and cares for me. Those times when we are filled with the love of God and our heart, as it were, is filled with the light of God's love, and the darkness of fear can't grip us. But don't be surprised that if you are not being a channel for the love of God, if you are not allowing the life of Christ to live through, do not be surprised that the light of God's love begins to dwindle and that is replaced by the darkness of fear. Because they cannot coexist together. You don't want fear in your heart. You don't want to be full of fear. Then you need to be full of love. And that comes about by the Spirit of God. Are you fearful today? It's easy to fear, isn't it? Many things we can fear. Many reasons we can fear. And when we don't walk with the Lord, that brings about fear in our hearts. And that happens sometimes. People that know the joy of the Lord, they know the peace of God, they know the love of God. Then they're not walking with the Lord, they're not spending time with him, they're not being in the light of his presence, they're not being a channel for the love of God. Then they begin to fear. And their heart condemns them. They say, I wonder, do I really know the Lord? Was I ever really saved? Was I ever really forgiven? I'm wondering now, because the love of God doesn't seem to be coming through me. I don't seem to know the presence of God. And that is when condemnation comes. Remember, it says over in verse 20, says, verse 18 to 20 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And the word translated confidence in verse 21 is the same word that is translated boldness in verse 17. Okay, so, and this understanding here where it says for if our heart, it says, and hereby we know that we have the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The understanding there of assuring our hearts is that of persuading our hearts. Our hearts sometimes need persuasion to be persuaded back to the truth of the word of God. Our hearts begin to condemn us, give thoughts to the mind, and then we need to actually persuade by God's grace our hearts back again, and that is by loving others practically and knowing the life of Christ living through us. Fear hath torment, or we could say punishment. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Love gives way to fear if we don't love. But fear gives way to love when we love. When we by faith choose to love in reliance upon Christ, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and fear vanishes faster than early morning shadows before a rising sun. We cannot fear when we are filled with the love of God. And perhaps that's the problem of some of you today, is that you are fearful because you are not being a channel for the love of God. under condemnation all the time, fearful, afraid, up and down, in and out, you need to submit yourself to being a channel for the love of God, to love God and to love your fellow believers, to be that channel of blessing. Also, we see the production of this love. Excuse me, it's a little wooden, but the production of this love, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And do not we see here how pitiful we are and how great God is, that our love is reciprocation, that we in and of ourselves could not love God in the way that we ought to until we were saved. We see we love him because he first loved us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? From what country is it come from? Where is it from? This kind of love. And it's because of this love that then we in turn love him. Why is it that children have a unique love for their parents? It's because they have been recipients of the love of their parents, and they then respond. There are times when a young lady may not have any great feelings of love towards a young man, but when he reaches out to her in love, she then in turn loves him because he first loved her. And so it is with us in salvation. Is the reason that we love God is because that he first reached out to us and we experienced the love of God. You can remember that when the time you were saved, when you were saved and you experienced the love of God and the peace that filled your heart, and that gave you a love and a devotion for God that you never had before. It changes you. A person might say, well, I love God. I've always loved God. Well, have you first experienced his love for you? Many people say, yes, I love God, but have you first and foremost experience the love of God? And I don't mean, when I say experience, I don't mean in some weird way where people fall on the floor. I mean just simply knowing God's love when he saves your soul. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Our love is reciprocation to him because of what he has done for you. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Also, we see the proving of this love, verses 20 to 21, the proving of this love. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Just as love and fear cannot coexist, love and hatred cannot coexist. And there is a test here in the Word of God whether someone truly does love God or not. Whether the love of God is in their hearts and is manifest in their hearts or not. Many people profess they love God, don't they? World's full of religion. If you ask people about their faith, they might say, oh yes, I love God. Or if you ask them, do you love God? Oh yes, I've always loved God. And so many, many, many professions that people love God, but in here we see there's a test to see whether you actually do or whether your love is very cold or whether you actually do not love God. Oh yes, I've always loved God. Oh yes, I love God for sure, yes. But there's a test here. The profession is tested. If a man say, I love God, there's the profession. And hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Do you love God? Yes, absolutely. Do you love Christians? No. Liar. Oh, I love God. Liar. Oh, yeah, I love God. Do you like going to church? No, hate it. Liar. If you say you love God and have a hatred for believers, that's evidence that you don't know the Saviour. And he illustrates. He says, For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? He puts the test. You've got a brother standing right before you, right before your very eyes, who has serious needs, and you're not fazed by it, you're not worried about it. And you say you love God whom you cannot see. He says, no, it doesn't stack up. 1 John 3:16 to 18, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life so the brethren need to be as Christ was. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Comes out practically. You see why James, in the book of James, says about how that faith without works is dead. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So when people say that they love God and they don't have a care for other believers, it's self-deception. It's delusion. It's delusional. When people say they love God and do not love their fellow brethren. And perhaps for an application for those who are saved. You say you love God. Well, do you love the family of God? How is it that people just don't seem to really be bothered about being in church very often? Oh, yeah, we'll come here and there. Do you love God? Oh, yeah, well, okay, you're at least indicating that your love for God is not what it ought to be. Because if you love God, you would have a greater love for your brethren. That is the test. These people who say they have a relationship with God and they say they have a love for God and yet they don't want to be involved with the work of God and they'd hardly want to be in church, in the house of God, well, you're showing that your love for God is not what it ought to be. Because if you have great love for God, you're going to have great love for the brethren. And if you have great love for the brethren, you'll have great love for God. And when you love God, you're obedient to God, and that's loving your brethren. And when you love your brethren, that's obeying God, and that's loving God. And they all hold together, and you can't divorce them one from the other. The matter of obedience in the area of love, and the matter of loving your brethren and loving God, they all go together, and you can't pick one and not have the other two, or pick two and not have the other one. They all go together. And this is where it's good how that John, as he speaks through here, even though the words are simple, he gets down to it. And he takes us out of the clouds and the airy fairies and he brings us right down to the everyday. And he shows you whether or not you either have the love of God or you do not, and shows things to us very, very clearly here. And if you love God, you will love the house of God. You will love the people of God. You know, the other day, the Thanksgiving Sunday we had, that was, I think that'd have to argue, one of the best Sundays I've ever been in church. Just the wonderful spirit that was here, the special music, the joy. It was so wonderful to be here. And, you know, if you love God, you'll want to be in this house. You really will. You know, there's some people who don't have what you have here. They have a small fellowship, and that's not wrong, but they don't have the same Christian community. And you have a great, you have a wonderful opportunity here to be a part of the house of God and of the family of God. And if you love God, you'll want to be here, and you'll want to invest in the lives of your brethren. You really will. So how do I do it? How do I go about loving? How do I be this loving disciple of Christ? How can I manifest this, show that I'm a true disciple of Christ? How do I do that? When you see a need, roll your sleeves up and love your brethren. It's a practical love. It's not just simply a feeling. Although emotions may be involved, roll up your sleeves and love one another. A need, whether it be time, whether it be financial, whatever it be, love one another. There's a story. It's a story from from tradition, verse 29, it says, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." It's a story from tradition that, so we don't stand a lot, we do the word of God. But that when the Apostle John was old, and he used to have to be carried to the meeting place in Ephesus, and he became really old and he couldn't really speak very much anymore. But he used to just say to the believers, he just used to say, "Little children, love one another." And that's all he'd say. So the story goes. And they'd bring him back again the next week and he'd say, "Little children, love one another." And they're a bit perplexed as to why he would do this so often. And he conveyed to them that it was the command of Christ. And that if that was done, that it was enough. Did you know that even back in that time, that there were heathen who looked on at the early church and they said, "See how they love each other. See how they love one another." They saw it. They said, "See how they love one another." It was in that pagan heathen world, this was a love that they had not seen before. And you know, that ought to be us. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples when ye have love one for another." And you know, if people are to come into contact with us and they do not see the love of God, then we have failed. We have failed if they fail to see the love of God. There are a lot of people who go to churches and they see the absolute opposite. Speaking with a lady yesterday, never wants to go to church ever again. Injured in a church. And it always stinks so much worse when it is supposedly a church, when it's a church supposedly the house of God, and people do the absolute opposite of loving. May God help us to love. And you know, if when we, by the grace of God, love one another as we ought to love one another, that shows that we're the true disciples of Christ, and that shows a testimony to the lost. And they say, can say, "See how they love one another? I don't understand at that church. Why do they love one another so much?" It's because of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. So if you're not loving, it's time to start. Love or shrivel up inside. Have the light of the love of God fill your heart, or let it give way to darkness, bitterness, sorrow, doubting, hatred, all those bad things, but you can be filled with the love of God this day. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, how often we fall so short of this matter of brotherly love. Lord, help us to be in tune with you, to have our ears and eyes open, to be ready, Father, to love one another as you have commanded us to. Help us not to do it grudgingly nor of necessity, Father, but to do it by faith and to know the joy that comes of living like you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we would walk in your footsteps. We would be like you. We would give our lives to be a sacrifice one for another, that we would lay down our lives for one another because we love one another, as you have loved us and as you have commanded us to, Lord God. I pray, Father, that if you are to come back before our death, that, Lord, you would find us loving one another as you've commanded us to. In Jesus, your name, Lord Jesus, we do pray. Amen.